As we commence our study back to the Gospel of John, chapter 6, it might be a little helpful to remind ourselves that in the Gospel of John, the last living apostle is writing, and he's giving us a view of the Old Testament, New Testament. He's bringing it all together so that we could see the whole history, biblical history, human history. We could see it as it needs to be seen. It needs to be seen in the light of a wonderful God, the only God and the only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man. And the Gospel of John is understanding that when you are to receive and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are receiving and believing the living and only God, which without, if that is not true, you can't be saved. He must be who he is in order to save us. Now, and thus, so in the light of that, we were looking at the feeding of the 5,000, and we were looking at that, the walking on water, his wonderful power over all the elements as needed and useful for his glory. So now, in the light of that, just to remind you so that it may help, Revelation chapter 19, we have a word in the verse 19 and verse 6. I heard, as it were, the voice of the multitude of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and as the voice of many thunderings, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Over in verse 15. And out of his mouth goeth the sharp sword, and with it that he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress and the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. So you're going down from, in verse 6, the last word, God omnipotent reigneth. And you're going to go from that word down to the end of verse 15, the end, Almighty reigneth. The Almighty God reigneth. And the word Almighty, remember, or the omniscient God, omnipotent God, has to do with all, and then an all or every, and then you add a word to it that means might, force, ability, faculty, capacity, authority, sway, influence, power, all power, almighty power. And thus, God's almighty power. I need to understand that since I live in creation, I am part of creation. Now, over a little movement to catch the flavor, grandeur of it. Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. Picking up, if I may. And when, verse 1, and when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. I am Almighty, I am the Almighty God. And I want you to move through your, as you travel down the corridor of time, I want you to always be before me in my presence, always. Therefore, I'm Almighty, I'm El Shaddai. I'm the one that has the strength, that I'm to be your hero, I'm to be your conqueror. I conquer you, and you with me conquer anything and everything. I am invincible. Walk before me carefully, Abraham. Now, having said that, I am the Almighty One. I am the All-Powerful One. And thus in the light of that word, and you're going to find it over and over and over again, repeated to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, they're all going to get that word. You need to know who I am. I am the Almighty God. So when I tell you something, when I do something, you are not wondering and wondering, trying to find the reason for it, to understand how it could be done. Now, in the light of that, go with me, please, over in your Bible to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 3. So Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they're all going to be introduced and to understand the God who is Almighty, and that is necessary. In Exodus, Moses, Exodus chapter 6. Now God made himself known to Moses, wonderfully so. But here in chapter 6, God reminds the people of Israel in chapter 6, verse 2. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. I introduce myself as the Omnipotent One. I am Almighty God. You need to start with that. If you're going to go anywhere with me, you'll never understand what I do, don't do, how I do. You'll never understand if you don't know who I am. I am the Almighty One. Now, and thus, they all knew me by that name. But by my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them. I was not known in a covenant, unique, personal relationship to them, as you guys are going to be right now. And you'll pick up that in verse 6. Chapter 6, you'll get Jehovah, the meaning of it. Chapter 6, verse 6. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. I will take you to be to me for a people. I will be to you a God. You shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it to you for an heritage. I am the Lord. I am Almighty God. I do all of this. Israel as a nation was to appreciate and expect a relationship to God that would be of some than other than this world. A stupendous, supernatural, nothing like Egypt, nothing like the gods of Egypt. No, God, you are one unique person, absolutely. Now, having said that, Moses, did you understand that about God? He did. Deuteronomy chapter 3. Deuteronomy in chapter 3. Moses, did you understand? He did, and he told them. He used Moses in a wonderful way. And remember, Moses, Deuteronomy's written just before they go in the land, cross the Jordan River. And Moses would like to be able to lead them across the Jordan, but God isn't going to allow that. So in that context, let me just read verse 23. I besought the Lord at that time, saying, The Lord God, O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness. Now that's, you have to think of that. It's at the end of his life. And he says, I'm just beginning to catch on how wonderful and powerful you are. I didn't realize it. I didn't even catch on. O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? God, there's no one like you. Now, I'd like to cross over the Jordan, but you aren't going to let me. You are something else, God, a wonderful God. Now, personal, get even more personal. Over, if you would, please. Oh, to the book of Ruth. Book of Ruth, if you would. After Judges, you'll find Ruth, as you know. Ruth, chapter 1, personal. Remember, Naomi has lost her sons and her husband. And in the light of that, Ruth, is a Moabitess, is coming along. But, pick up the thinking of Naomi as she thinks. She's personal. She's out there in Moab. She isn't in Jerusalem, in Bethlehem. She's out nowhere. And but she's very conscious out there in the middle of nowhere about God. That's what we need to be. Very conscious about God everywhere. She was nowhere, as it were, comparatively. Verse 20, 1 and 20 of the Gospel, Ruth. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, which means bitter. For the Almighty, there's your word, hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, verse 21, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? And in her, God's dealing with her life, she got out of Bethlehem, you know, and went away, and tried to make it out there in Moab, and it didn't work out. And now she's headed back as it were, to Bethlehem. But, she was very conscious of God. God, can you do a work in Moses' life? I can. Can you do a work in Ruth's life? I can. And, she won't understand. She's going to have to go back to Bethlehem, Boaz, and all of that. And then we'll have Obed, Jesse, and then David. She will never know that till she gets back there. She isn't going to know that in Moab. She's going to know that in Bethlehem. That's where she's going to know it. Now, so where are we going to find out, God, about you, about your ability, your authority, your faculty, your power? We aren't going to find it out outside of you. We have to find it out in your presence, in your person. You are Almighty person. I need to understand you, the person of God. Then I can understand anything. Now, let's keep going. Over, if you would, please, to the book of Job, chapter 23. Remember, Job has all kinds of problems, etc. And if I may, in Job chapter 23. And picking up, please, in thought may I go. Oh, you get the flavor of it. Verse 8. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. Backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, I cannot see him. God, you are infinite, infinite, omnipresent, invisible. Aha, boy, we have to readjust in how to handle you. And God, I'm looking for you in the light of my problems physically, family-wise, and otherwise. Verse 10. But, what do you know, Job? But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Now, God, you know all about me. Even I have to learn all about you. And now you go down to the end of the movement. In verse 14, he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. And remember, I just read this morning anyway, God said, after I'm all done with you, Job, I'm going to double everything you have. I'm going to double it, and I'm going to give you a whole lot of years. I'm going to let you be 140 years old. I'm going to double it. Wow. That's pretty good. But Job, you got to learn. Ruth, you got to learn. Moses, you got to learn. Boy, I didn't know God. I've just been beginning. Moses, Ruth, Naomi. And here is Job, verse 15. Therefore am I troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft. And there's your word, Almighty troubleth me. He troubles me. He causes me to be perplexed and agitated, because I was not cut off from before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my faith. He's letting me live through things. Why couldn't he just terminate me and let me avoid all the heartache and headache? No, live through it. That's where you learn. That's where you learn. You got to go through it. If I just cut it off, what would you learn? What exercise would you have? None. None. Job says, you are some God, Almighty God, and boy, I have to learn. And he did, because that was his whole purpose, to learn. Now, and to discover. Now, in the light of that, over in Psalm 91, keeping in mind, God deals with our hearts in a wonderful way. And in the process, you would recall Psalm 91, verse 1 on our journey. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High dwelleth, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So God, if we're going to be in your presence, walking down the corridor of time, and you're going to make the Moses and Naomi and Job, and you're going to make us go through whatever. Going to go through whatever, but I want you to know that I'm over you like a shadow, like a cloud, a tree in the hot sun. And I am over you. I am over you. Who's over you? The Almighty God, who knows all about you. All about you. Okay. Now, over please, in the light of that, if you would, in remembering now, in the process that God is omnipotent, he has all authority, he has unlimited power, whatever he wants to do, unlimited ability, faculty, capacity, unlimited. He can do whatever he wills to do, what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, he can do it. He can do anything he wants, as he wants, always, and it is always right. God never does anything wrong. He always does everything right, and, to add, he does it having perfect wisdom and perfect knowledge, having everything in forever, all in front of him, as it were. He has it all in front of him. He doesn't need anything put up that he can't see. He sees the whole thing. And so when he does anything, it's with having all the pieces. Having all the pieces. We never do. He does. All the pieces. He's Almighty. Under the shadow of his wings. In his presence. In the secret of his presence. Now, over if you would, in the light of that, remembering all of that, that God's ability, power matches his eternal person. Always God, we want God to act like God, be like God, be God to us. You want to be the dentist to you, don't you? When you go in to the dentist, you don't want him to play with your appendix. He's the dentist, though he may do pretty well. I have no idea. You want God to be God. You want the dentist to be the dentist. You want the butcher to be the butcher. God be God. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, that God always is unlimited, as I shared, his power never lessens, never reduced. When he created the world, as you see, when he did the Red Sea, marvelous, opened the 4 miles or so of Red Sea, wow, just opened it up, nothing to it. He never is diminished. His power is never less. His power is always perfect and complete. No matter what he does, no matter how he does, it's always there, as if it was never used. Wow. Now, in the light of that, and on every occasion, any occasion that he does, it is there. So now, having said that, his wonderful power and wisdom, and he has no limitations. Limitations are only those which are not going to glorify and honor him. And thus we have this power. Now you want to have in your mind, when you say power, you want to think of, just think of a plant. And you have all kinds of historical illustrations of where kings and monarchs built great mausoleums and downed and wanted no one to go in to ever see them. And the tree, the blade of grass, breaks through it and grows and splits it wide open. A storm comes, storm, big storm. And you try to take a piece of straw and take a pole and push the straw through the pole without breaking it. God can do that in a storm. And throw that storm, throw the straw right through the pole, and after the storm, the straw is sticking out of the pole. God can do that. Power, 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 power. Ants have power. The beetle, you know, the rhinoceros beetle. I always use that because it's the only one I remember. I don't get into bugs too much. And I want you to know, in the process, the rhinoceros beetle will fit in the palm of your hand. It can carry 850 times its own weight. That is equal to a 170-pound man carrying 144,000 pounds. A 170-pound man carrying 144,000 pounds, 72 tons. God, a little beetle. Do you know in power, and here's the sun, and we have the energy from the sun. But if you took a freight train, and you took the freight train, and you lined it up in New York City, and went all the way up to the moon with it, one long freight train, and you make five of them, and they're stretched from Earth to the moon, and you fill them full of coal, C-O-A-L-D, coal. And you set the coal all off on fire at once. At once, you set the fire. You set the coal on fire all at once. And thus, that all that coal is the energy, the solar energy that reaches the Earth every hour from the sun. All five train here to the moon, and you're one big blast. That's the energy that reaches the Earth from the sun. And the sun that we get down here is 1/2 billionth of the energy. The sun, we only get 1/2 billionth of the energy from the sun. The sun's everywhere else. Power. Power. Magnificent power. That's right. Everywhere. The baby has little power. But the baby looks at the teenager, and the teenager looks, and then you keep going and going, and power. Everyone has their given time, their given age, baby, teenager, adult. We have our limitations. We have our power. We have it. Power, power, power. When it comes to God, you have power. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful power, power. And thus, God, you can do what you can do in a most wonderful way. Now, people need to understand that. In the light of you've given your word, so we understand. Otherwise, we'd have to guess. We can look, but we'd have to guess. We don't have to guess. Here it is in front of us. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. And in Matthew chapter 22, you would recall God's words to Israel, if I can. And picking up, please, that. Chapter 22, verse 29. Jesus answered and said, in the light of the context, unto them about the resurrection, "You do err. You don't know the scriptures. And you don't know the power of God. I tell you something, and you say that's impossible, it can't be done. But you don't have any idea that I am Almighty God. You have no idea. And thus you limit me. You make me little and limited. When you start shrinking me down to be your size, you lose. You lose." Psalm 78. Israel lost. The dummies. I say dummy because there we would do the same thing. Psalm 78. Picking up, please. In verse 17. And they sinned. This is in the wilderness. Remember now, they had all kinds of benefits, all kinds of demonstration of power with the cloud and the fire and all of that. Verse 17. They sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. Now, what do? They tempted, put God unto the test. They tempted God in their heart by asking meat of food for their lust. Now, they had. And they could have all they want. They wanted more. They wanted something else. And thus they said to God. Verse 19. Yea, they spake against God and said, they said, "Can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" Can God do anything? That's the question. Can God do anything about my life, where I am, how I am? They didn't know the power of God. They didn't know the scriptures. And they didn't know the power of God. Wow. And you know, in the light of what you just read in verse 19, can God? I would remind you of that which you're familiar with. Psalm 23, verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in what? In the presence of mine enemies. Can God? Can God? Can God? Absolutely. Absolutely. And the believing heart, letting him be a shepherd for the sheep who need a shepherd, who need a savior. Then the sheep are safe. Because the Almighty knows, under the shadow of the Almighty. God, do you know all about our weakness, our frailty? We are as but as a blade of grass, a flower that blooms and disappears. God, do you know all about us? I do, I do, I do, I do. And you would recall while you're on Psalm 78, we mentioned it, in verse 41. Psalm 78, 41. Yea, they turned back and tempted God, tested God, and limited, there's what we're just talking about, limited the Holy One of Israel. They put boundaries on God and said, God, you are not able to do more than this with us, for us, to us. You can't do more than this. This is all you're going to do. And you know what? That's all we end up getting. That's all we end up getting. We just said, God, you're going to do it on our terms. And God said, my thoughts to you are more than the what? The sand of the sea. And you limit me to your little mind? Oh, what a dumb move. What a dumb move that is. Yes, yes, no. God, I want to learn from that. Now, having said that, over to Isaiah 44. Isaiah chapter 44. And in fact, I'm going to go to 42, since I'm going to complement them, statements. Isaiah 42. Now, remember, the heavens and the earth, God made them, spoke, and it was so. He commanded, and they stood fast. God did it. He didn't need any tools. He didn't need any machinery. He didn't need any help. He didn't need anything. He didn't need anything. He just did it. Out of nothing. That's right. Out of nothing, he made everything. Wow. I got to tell you, whoever can do that, I'm impressed with them. I'm impressed. I really am impressed. Wow. Now, and thus in Isaiah 42, in the light of all of that, heavens and earth, verse 5. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out. And that is a participle. It means to keep going. You're stretching. He keeps stretching them. He stretched them out. He that spread out, the same thing, different way, different word to take, and take the earth, on the earth, and just push. Here you got 70% water, and push everything in the right place. Put it all in the right place. Wow. He spreadeth out the heavens. He spreadeth forth the earth. That which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and the spirit to them that walk therein. That's how you became a human. God did that all by his lonesome. You want to know how come you're so unique? Your physical body is unique enough, but the person inside is even more unique. Where did that ever come from? God, Almighty God. Ah, now, chapter 44. Chapter 44 again. In verse 24. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that's both verbs are the same, that stretched forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. I did it all by myself. No one. I just took all those heaven, billions of galaxies. I just did that. I just took the earth and did that. Who helped you, God? No one. No one helped me. No one helped me at all. And by the way, sometime I let things to understand that. Do you know, I could have had Samson recruit an army from Egypt and go against the Philistines. But you know, I didn't have him do that. I could have. But you know, I took the jawbone of an ass, old bone laying on the ground, and I said, Samson, use that. And Samson wasn't going to fight God. I mean, after all, God, you want to use the jawbone of an ass or a feather? So what? And he did it. And 1,000 Philistines are dead. And he isn't hurt at all. Boy, are you a good God. He is. I said, I'm able. I'm able to take loaves and fishes. I'm able to take Peter in the water and have him walk. I have no problem. You have a problem. If you don't know me, you're going to mumble and grumble and play the game and say it can't be. Or else you're going to be in the place to discover the magnificence of the person in whose presence we never are without. And we need to know him as our personal Savior and Lord in a most wonderful way. Now, over, if you would, to Luke chapter 1. Now, God, it isn't the instrument, isn't the issue. No. God, you do what you want. It isn't power of the army or an atomic bomb or something. No. You're just able to do what you do in a most wonderful way. And thus, here's Mary, remember, the Virgin Mary. She's going to have conceived, giving birth to the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here in Luke chapter 1, just to remind us, in verse 37, "For with God nothing, no word shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Thy word, and the little word nothing in verse 37, slide down to the word word, W-O-R-D, in verse 38, you have it. There's no word that you can't do. And if you say it, God, you can do it. You can do it. You said it. That's right. All the promises I make are yes and amen. Now, either you're going to trust me and allow me to be who I am, or you're not. And thus, Mary, that's what you did. And you believed that whatever God said, you believed that God can do it. And that's why. That's why. You'd have no other explanation. There's no, Mary, what if you go to talk to somebody, explain it. Explain how you're pregnant. You can't. You have to come to God, the Almighty God. And thus over, if you would, in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. In Mark chapter 5, remember now, you got to believe, you got to give God credit, so you don't get hung up with, you get caught up with God, and then anything, everything, your study of flowers, birds, bugs, bees, the great marvel of microscope and the telescope and all the things in your seat, space and microscopic. Wow, world upon world, universe upon universe, wonder of wonders, how can such be? Because of God, you are almighty. You can do whatever you wish. You are all powerful. You are ever present. You're God. Now, Mark chapter 5, picking up please, in verse 15. And remember, they come to Jesus and see him who was possessed with the devil, and he had the legion sitting, he had the legion, demons, lots of demons, sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they weren't afraid when he was a bad guy, but they were afraid when he was a good guy. And they saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with a demon, a devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray unto him to depart out of their coast, to get out of their territory. Verse 18, and when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with them. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath compassion on thee. God had compassion on me in my terrible dilemma of demon possession, and God delivered me. You want to know why I have a sound mind? God did it in a wonderful way. Chapter 6. Chapter 6 of Mark. Verse 4. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went around about the villages and teaching. Verse 4, I'll read you a little background. Jesus said unto them, A prophet is without honor in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And the problem was, they didn't believe. Remember the feeding of the 5,000, there's 5,000 men, plus women and children, probably 15,000 or more than that, and God healed them. How many? We aren't even told. And how many different ways out there he did it. Wow. You would have think you have been taken up with a awesomeness of that whole thing. I have to tell you, boy, I'm impressed, God. I'm impressed. Chapter 9. Chapter 9. In chapter 9, picking up, please, in verse 22. Oftentimes it hath cast him, remember, son. Oftentimes it cast him into the fire, into the spirit, a demon. And oftentimes it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Help us. Father, son. Verse 23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out, and he said with tears, Lord, I believe. Would you please help mine unbelief? I have to discover who you are. God, here I am. I heard rumors about what you could do, and no one can help me. I don't know, God. Where is help coming from? Is it from you? Help mine unbelief. And he did. He did. The guy was honest with him. Straightway. He didn't give him a whole lot of baloney about a hypocrite. He didn't do that. He just said, I'm real. I'm real, God. I don't know. And God was there. Wow. Chapter 10. If I can, verse 25. It is, and you'll remember this from our studies of possible and impossible. And the disciples, I'll read verse 23, and Jesus looked around about him and said to his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his work, but Jesus answered again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, that's a sewing needle, a camel's a camel, with a hump or two. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And therefore, they were said, they understood, verse 26, and they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? They weren't talking about riches anymore. They were talking about being saved. They understood where he was going. And thus, verse 27, and Jesus looking upon them saith, with men it is impossible, but with God, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. God, you mean you're able to do what we can't? Uh-huh. I'm able to do what you can't. Absolutely. No problem about it. And remember Paul, 2 Timothy, Paul is in prison, Roman prison. Isn't going to get out. And there he is. He's tied, bound. But he says, remember 2 Corinthians 2? The word of God isn't bound. I am in chains, but God isn't. I'm in a physical body with all of its limitations. But God, you aren't bound to that. Wow. Now, in the light of that, and you want to go, if I can, and remember now, so looking at that, over if you would please, oh, able to save, over to chapter 9 of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9. No, I'm going to change that, I think, for time's sake. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews 7. And in the light of Hebrews 7, in the light we find it, Hebrews chapter 7, picking up, please, in verse 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost, to forever, to the very end, to the uttermost, that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. God, you know all about us. You are such an high priest, verse 26, who is holy, blameless, undefiled, separated from sinners, made higher than the heavens. God, if anyone understands our humanity and our limitations, you do. Therefore, God, we're going to trust you. And God, since we're going to trust you with all our heart, and we're going to do so. And I have to add, would you allow me to add Ephesians to that? God to the uttermost. Here I am. I'm safe all the way to the end. But I want to go down the rest of my journey in time. I want to go the rest of the journey in time. I want to do it with a greater understanding of your wonderful person, like Job at the end of which was the beginning again. I'm just beginning. I want to discover you. Now, Ephesians chapter 3. You know it. Ephesians 3. And before I read it, I'm going to put up. Do you see? Can you see that back there? Telescope. Anyway, what it is. This is just a piece of paper. And it's a square, a box. Just think of a box. Think of your life and problems and things in your life. Persons, places, problems in your life. And what we do is we have things to worry about, want, and fret, and fuss about. Now, what do we do? Without knowing it, we put God in the... We're going to trust God, so we're looking at the problem, and whatever person's place, whatever it is, work, home, school, play, sickness, health. I'm looking at God, and here's my problem. And I put God in the middle of my problem. Problem of putting God in the middle of your problem. The problem is bigger than God. You understand? The problem is bigger than God. That's what you just did. You shrunk God to fit into your problem. As you understood the problem, you put him in the middle of it, as you understand it. That's what you did. Now, you don't want to do that. No. And I didn't have G. I'm going to spell it. G, which way do you want to go? G. G. You got the G. O. You got the O. D. Did I spell it right? Okay. Spell it backwards for you. Now, what do you want to do? I have the O, God, G-O-D. What do I want to do? And now you may not be able to see this, and I don't want you to because I want it to be small. Do you see? There's the word zero in God. God. And you put a little dot in the middle of that circle. You can do your own God. You take God, write it out, and put a little dot in it. You can even brush yourself up. A little stick figure, and put yourself right in the middle of God. God is superior to you in 7 zillion million ways. And by the way, I added a little square. You can't see it. Do you remember this thing? I put that in the middle of God, too. I put that in the middle of God. Not only me, but my problem. My world, my circumstance, my conditions. I put them in the middle of God. That's what I did. And all of a sudden, whatever I thought was so big, shrunk. And what I thought was so impossible, wasn't quite impossible. God, like Moses, things you let be and not be, but boy, can you do what you do? And that's what I want to discover, God. I want to discover your marvelous how you limit me and how you love me. I want to do both. I want to learn how little I am, how limited I am, and how much I love, how much you love me. I won't do that. Ephesians now, in closing. Verse 20 you know. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That means don't try to figure it out. Just get into it. According to the power, the ability, the dynamo, the dynamic that worketh in us. And God, to him, unto you be glory in the church, the body of Christ, by Christ, a church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. God, you are above, beyond. That's all I'm going to do, God, is discover. And that's what we're doing as we read the Gospel of John. We're discovering God's God. Wow. And thus, canst thou take the barren soil, and with all thy pains and toil, make lilies grow? Thou canst not, O helpless man, have faith in God, he can. Canst thou paint the clouds at eve, and all the sunset colors weave into the sky? No. Thou canst not, O powerless man, have faith in God, he can. Canst thou still thy troubled heart and make all care and doubts depart from out thy soul? Thou canst not, O faithless man, have faith in God. God can. God can do that. God delights, I assure you, 5,000 times, God delights in being who he is. He likes being who he is. He likes being God. Otherwise, he would have never made you. Wow. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts, our homes, our health. God, help us all. Help us. We don't want to limit you. We don't want to do like Israel. We don't want it said, you have no knowledge of the scripture nor of my power. God, I don't want that said. Deal with our heads and our hearts, God. And for those who know not you as their Lord and Savior, God, convince them that they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. God, thank you for just being here, just being you, Spirit of God. We stumble through it all, but God, help us. Help us. Where are we going to be, God, if you don't help us? Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. And you might want to turn as we sing in your hymnal 477.